What is up, everyone? It's Ezra here at Moda247, and welcome back to another episode of the Moda247 show. It's been a long time since our last episode. It was around Daytona, I think. I was down in Florida so it was Daytona. And which, honestly, it kills me for many reasons not be able to do an episode for so long. But one of them is because Detroit was right after, and oh my gosh, as you guys know, Detroit was insane. There's so much to talk about from Detroit. It claimed so many riders. And I was really bumming that I couldn't get in an episode after that. But anyways, we're here now, guys. And pumped to be back. And also pumped that we'll have Joey Crown here co-hosting this episode right alongside me here. And but anyways, we talked about a lot of stuff in this episode. We talked about Foxborough. We talked about the Supercross in general. We talked about the outdoors. Caroli coming over to the States. And Logan Carnahaus. Newest sponsors and all the news on that end, along with our Moto 247 Supercross Game 5 championship that we are now running. So anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode, and hope you guys enjoy it. If you guys are looking to get graphics for your bike, your snowmobile, or even get a helmet wrap, I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does an amazing job. The graphics look so sick, and not only do they look really cool, the quality of those graphics are top-notch too. And I have a set on my pit bike, and man, they look cool. I have that Geico theme going on, and well, rest in peace, Geico Honda. Anyways, have that going, and it looks sick, but not only that, but the quality of them is really great. And that's something I was really pumped on, actually, because there's a lot of companies out there that the graphics look really cool, really clean. You know, you can post your picture on Instagram and the bike looks so sick, but you have a weekend on the bike of doing a couple motos and they're starting to peel and everything, and that's just really frustrating. And that's the complete opposite with Prism. The quality of them is really great, and they're at an affordable price too. So I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. You can find them on Instagram at PrismDesigns_company. And then the link to their website is right there in their bio. So definitely recommend you check out Prism. And I also want to give a big shout out to our newest sponsor here on the show, which is Blood Lubricants. As you guys know, it's really important to have really good oil in your bike. Be like Joey Crown, Alex Ray, Kyle Chisholm, Logan Carnow, and the whole SGB Honda team, and many more by using Blood Lubricants. Go over to their website and use code MOTO247 for 25% off on most products they have on there. Again, that's Moto247 and all caps MOTO247 for 25% off on most products on their website. Go over there. Their link to their website is in their Instagram bio. So go over there and find them on Instagram as well at Blood Lubricants. And I'm also really excited to have a brand new grip company on board with us. I want to give a big shout out to Whiskey Throttle Grips. They make grips and apparel, half waffle, and soft compound grips. Go over and check out their Instagram at whiskey_throttle_grips. Go on there, see what they have going on and all their cool grips. And right in their bio is their link to their website. So go check them out on Instagram, hit that follow button, and click that link in the bio. And man, a lot has happened since our last episode, which was right after Daytona, I believe. So a lot to cover, and it was definitely some good racing last weekend.
Yeah, it was, Glad to be on and talk about some racing. It's hard to be able to cover it all. We'll be sitting here all night, but it's a cool wrap up a little bit of Foxborough and talk about some of the previous few rounds as well. There's been lots of ups and downs so far, so it's been very entertaining.
Yeah, and I guess I kind of want to get started with the 250 class. Kind of thinking all over the place right now, but Jet getting the title done, or getting the title with another round to go, so that's huge. And I saw people were freaking out, but not like it's that uncommon, but especially with McAdoo, you know, getting hurt and stuff, so just really unfortunate how that all turned out. But you know, Faulkner came back. I was surprised to see him back so early, and not only that, but get a win after it's been like 2 years of him not doing so well. So what are your thoughts on Faulkner coming back so early and giving Jet a run for his money there?
Yeah, definitely impressive. I've broke my collarbone a few times and had it plated. Those injuries don't take too long. I was riding in 10 days, I think, after my last one. So that's not too gnarly. It's he came back previous weekend in Atlanta and seemed like he lacked a little bit of fitness. So I was expecting, not expecting him to come out and win the next round. I was thinking, maybe get on the podium, top five. Like, he's, more than capable of winning. But I think if the championship wasn't on the line, Jet would have for sure won. But he played it safe. But, all in all, Austin rode really well, for sure.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I was, watching that battle as they're coming through the pack. And Austin was, on it. It looked like he was really trying. And then Jet was back there just looking like he was on cruise control. It just kind of blew me away. I don't know. I thought Jet was for sure going to get the win there. But, he didn't need to at all. And he made it interesting at times. And tried to make that pass there and end up getting it. And I thought for sure Faulkner was going to get docked for that. Going off the track there at that little triple before the start straight by the finish line there, but it was, I don't know, besides that, it was decent racing with the battle up front with Pierce Brown. It was really cool to see him up front, and then RJ Hampshire up front, but he went down as he normally does, so just really sucks for RJ there as well.
Yeah, I was bummed for more than one reason. I had him in my Pulp Mex fantasy, and he cost me a few hundred dollars right there, so I was pretty disappointed. But yeah, he was looking good. I thought for sure he was going to be the one winning, and that was kind of a dumb incident. It wasn't really his fault. Wasn't really Brown's fault. It just kind of Brown hooked back right, and RJ jumped left and collided there. Yeah, I was bummed. I was looking forward to seeing the battle between those two. Pierce looked like he was dropping down and dropping back a little bit, and RJ had the speed, but ended up crashing, and Brown kind of fell back a little bit, probably tightened up a little bit leading. Going back to the Faulkner thing, I thought the same thing as you did until I watched it back just a little bit ago, and when Jet kind of bumped him off the track, when Faulkner regained on the track, he was actually behind Jet, and then coming into the turn, Jet slowed up to square him up and basically just let Faulkner by. So I, after rewatching it, I think I was perfectly fine. But yeah, so that's my take on that.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't know really what to think about it, and especially after the calls they made this year, it seems like the AMA made some really interesting ones where were kind of thrown off guard, but I was just really curious to see what they would do there, but yeah, they didn't say anything. Just some other fines have been thrown out this weekend. Where was that at? Malcolm got fined, and who else was?
What was that on?
Verbmoto posted that.
Actually, I haven't seen that yet, but I saw something on Twitter, and they fined him for violating 2.14 in the rule book or something, and that was for indecent exposure or something.
Yeah,
they screwed up. But I kind of laughed. What the heck? And at first I thought it was legit, what? But no, obviously it wasn't. I missed that one. I have to check it out on Verb.
This says on Verb, according to the AMA penalty report, Malcolm violated rule 4.19.b, which was fined $1,000. The rule is, well, in regards to the rider and crew revealing themselves anywhere than a fixed or portable restroom. So where was he taking a piss at then?
So this is legit then?
Yeah, it's legit. I think I've been seeing that all. I've been seeing that all day. And Tomac violated another rule, which was, something totally out, or different, I mean.
What was Tomac's deal? I didn't hear anything.
4.26 point I1, which at the conclusion of the main event, the top five finishing riders and their motorcycles must go directly to the staging area located on the podium. other than the outside top five may also be directed to the podium staging area. Failure to go to designated podium staging area will result in a $1,000 fine. So I'm just finding that out now, yeah.
Huh, that's weird. I'm sure after that ride he wasn't too pumped on it. That's for sure. So he probably just wanted to get out of there, really, and get back. But just pulling up the results here.
Didn't he get seventh though?
Yeah, he got seventh. That's what I was thinking. I didn't think he got top five. So that's really weird. I guess maybe they wanted to interview him or something dumb. Yeah. And I don't know if I just rode like that, I wouldn't want to get interviewed. So I would have probably did the same thing in his shoes. They probably tried pulling him in there to get an interview, and he's like, no, screw that. So,
yeah, screw you, Daniel Blair. Yeah. That's nothing, though, $1,000 for them. Whatever, but yeah. And that's a whole other topic that with Tomac, I really wanted to wait for 450s, but with talking about him, that whole deal with him riding like that, I've seen people say, oh no, that was just because he was playing it safe, and there's a ton of other people saying they just thought he rode like complete shit and didn't know why at all, and said, you know, he just really sucked. So I was kind of curious to find out, and I think he played it safe. My opinion, he's played it safe, but he did drop back, you know, quite a bit, though. Like, even after he stalled the bike, he was up there, and then he dropped back, went past him on the second to last lap, I think, or the last lap. Or no, later on in the race. And then, yeah, and end up dropping back to seventh, which, you know, he still has a 43-point lead going into Denver. So, what was...
Yeah, I think he, I'm watching the highlights right now, and the first two laps, he was riding good. He was all over Webb. Like, to me, I was thinking, like, oh, Tomac's going to win this, you know? And he tried passing Webb, and that allowed, like, for the finish line, and that allowed Jason to get close, and Jason ran in there and scared him. It's kind of funny watching it back. He just kind of stood up the bike and stalled it. But yeah, he didn't want to get in any games with Jason. And then I think kind of after that, it wrecked his flow. And it's hard once, you know, being in the position he's in, not saying I ever have been, I've been on a lot smaller level, but, you know, when you're up front battling, your mind's focused on, you know, trying to get around Webb and then you have Jason centered up in there and you stall your bike and then kind of takes you out of that flow. And then like you start thinking about everything. And I think that's probably what happened with him. Like what we've seen in the past with some issues when he'll be, you know, up front and have a little tip over and get up in fifth and drop in 12th, you know, it's kind of a similar thing. This, you know, relaying, he's kind of went into that, conservative mode and, you know, maybe felt a little bit off too as well. There's no sense in waking it up and trying to catch up back up at the front. Cause there's no way he was going to get Anderson, even if he was on it after he stalled it. But so he was just playing it safe, in my opinion. I mean, the way he's been riding all season, you can't really give him crap for one seventh place finish. What's all in line, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I definitely agree with you. People are saying, oh, he's just like how he was a couple of years ago when he would have that one finish that would just really suck, you know, be like a ninth or whatever it is, and then, you know, come back the next week and win. But yeah, I definitely agree with you. And, you know, after that, like, I can only say that as a fan's perspective though, but just, you know, you stall on the bike and yeah, trying to get in the flow, I can definitely see that. And then realizing that even where he was at, like, he was what, like, fourth or fifth after he stalled the bike, but he ended up in seventh anyways. And as long as he doesn't lose 17 points, he, you know, he has that title this weekend. He'll wrap it up in Denver in his home state too. So yeah, there's no reason to push. And I think he even said something in an interview after the race about how sketchy the track was and how gnarly the transitions were. So like it wasn't the type of track that you really want to push on. Because it can lead to a lot of mistakes. So, there's no reason, like you said, he wasn't gonna catch Jason. And just bring it home. And even John Tomac, I think they had that on the broadcast where they interviewed him right after the race, and he was like, even if he was talking about, yeah, if we're in that fifth, the seventh range, we're fine, going into Denver. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about it. I see a lot of people on Instagram and all the social media platforms freaking out, but he has a 43-point lead with 2 rounds to go, and for the first 14 rounds, for the most part, I think he's been riding better than he has been over the last couple of years at least.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. This is, there's a lot of different, this is a different circumstance than like in the past, where he's mid-season and having those weirdo rides like that. But this being the end of the year, just kind of has a huge points lead, just, and the track was, gnarly with all the rocks and the loose dirt had rust in it. It was definitely interesting. The dirt and the layout was seemed, decently technical. So, yeah, he's not feeling it. What's the point? Just ride in the seventh and on to the next one and, sew up the title in your home state. That'd be pretty darn cool to do. I know you'd probably rather have won it this past weekend, but well, it's just looking the positive side of it, I guess, being able to win in your home state.
Yeah, and that and still that's you're wrapping it up, before Salt Lake, so that's still a plus, not like he's taking it down to the wire to the last minute where like obviously something can still happen, like a freak bike issue, I mean, or something crazy can happen. We've seen it before in over the years, but he still has 2 rounds to go and he has a huge lead, so I wasn't too concerned about it. I was pumped that Jason won. He that whole thing with Jason and Eli, I don't know, it's so weird just to see how they both were. Like they were great last year, but then they switched teams and it seems like they're on a whole nother level and like two refreshed dudes like that are just recharged or whatever you wanna call it. It's pretty crazy. What's your thoughts on all their success, Jason and Eli's?
Oh yeah, it's definitely surprising. Coming in the year, like I thought Tomac would be maybe close to as good as last year, and then this next year have him be like he is now, if that makes sense. Not come out swinging as good as he has been this year, and looking better than he ever has. And he's, what, 29 years old. It's definitely pretty amazing, and Jason last year, he looked like he had the speed, but his starts weren't good. He just wasn't putting races together. So to see him step up his game this year and to be able to move, like for both of these guys, moving to a different manufacturer and getting the bike dialed in and being this on point is really impressive. It's tough switching brands and, racing all the tracks, like you don't have the data for the previous year, being on the same bike as you were, it's definitely really impressive. But I can under, I'll relate to these guys with switching to a different brand, different sponsors. It's like cool. Like you get used to the same thing over and over again. It kind of just gets monotonous. And, when you switch to something new, it's just a little exciting. It's like getting a new car or a different car, it's a breath of fresh air and can light a fire under you, and also wanting to prove the naysayers wrong. Like everyone was definitely counting Jason out after the past few seasons, and saying, oh, he won his title and now he's just, mailing it in basically, and getting the podium here and there, but no, Jason clearly has shown like he wants to win another title before he retires. And without his mishap at Daytona, I really think, I'm not saying he would have won the title, but it definitely would have been a lot closer than it is now. For sure wouldn't be a 40-point gap coming in the last few rounds. Yeah, so definitely impressive both of them.
Yeah, for sure. And it kills me that I wasn't able to do a podcast after Detroit. I was like obviously wanting to do one because Detroit claimed like seems like almost the entire field that was like Death Cross, and it really sucked not being able to make it out to it. Like I only live an hour away from Detroit, and I was watching it on my way home from Florida in the car, and I just it was the my phone the data was really taking a crap and wasn't getting good connection, and it cut in and out, and I'd see guys go down in Detroit, and then, like I saw Jason go down, and then he was like delirious it looked like that one time, or the second time after the what after the finish line, I believe. By that Dragon's Back, I think it was. But anyways, yeah, it seems like a lot has happened since then, and I don't know, it's kind of funny, especially with Jason going to Kawasaki, because let's say he didn't go to Kawasaki, everyone would just blame all of Eli's issues over the last couple of years in Kawasaki, which they kind of still are, the public is. But with Jason coming over and actually doing like a lot better than he was in Husqvarna, that's it. Definitely, it's kind of funny to see, because the bike's capable of the being up front and stuff, and yeah, so it's just funny to see everyone's reaction to that. Then, because normally the Huskies have been, the Huskies and KTMs and everything have been, or GasGas have been, the top bikes for a while, at least the most popular. But yeah, something different to see though for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you take all the bikes now, pretty much, maybe besides Suzuki, but all the factory bikes are all really good, and I think it's all about how the rider relates to them. Everyone rides a little bit differently, needs a little different, setup and stuff, and different, environment, right? And, where, like, if Tomac went to Husky, he wouldn't necessarily be doing as good as he is now. Or if Jason went to Yamaha, he wouldn't be doing as good as Eli is. It's just they just mesh with their current teams now they move to. So it's all about meshing with the team and with the bike, and stop talking about Eli. He likes the freedom that Star, lets him adjust different things, and I can relate with that. Being on team, there's a lot of politics and things with little adjustments, like, you think would be no big deal, like, but it is a big deal sometimes. And they want to have a say in what they do and what they change the bikes and what they let you to do. Like, they'll just, if you want to go to a certain way, they won't even let you try it because they're like, oh, that doesn't work. Well, who tried it? Who told you it doesn't work? Like, maybe it might work for me. Or certain teams that, like, most of the factory teams won't have like a blanket program where all the riders are on the same thing, but there is that too, where they kind of give, they have three riders that weigh the same, they'll give them all the same settings and like, oh, this should work. Well, thing is, one guy might ride a little bit more in the front, one my guy might, be a little more on the back of the bike, like, one guy might be a little bit lighter on the bike, be heavier, hit stuff harder. It's all, everyone rides it differently, so
Yeah, that's one thing I really
see
don't
that
get.
mesh.
Like, I've never been around that, that team atmosphere or anything, but just like from an outsider's perspective, almost looking in, it's like I can kind of see where, yeah, that doesn't work, let's not do it. But it's like you said, everyone's different. So why, like, if let's say Tomac wanted to try this setting because he thinks he might be better, and they're both Tomac and the team, or whoever, whoever the rider is, and the team both want to win, they both want to get better results. It's the same goals, and I just that was the whole thing I didn't get with that whole thing with Tomac. It's like, why wouldn't you try everything, especially after after the couple years of him like dominating. Like, of course he had his issues in Supercross, that's why he never got a title until 2020, but you can tell he was noticeably different, like when that new Kawi came out back in 2018, I think it was. Starting at MX of Nations at Redbud, and just like I sound like a broken record at this point on the podcast talking about, but like, I'm he's looked like a different guy on that bike, and And if I was Kawasaki, I'd be like, let's try everything we can, to get that raw speed he had back, and like he still won a title in 2020. It's not like he got like way worse or anything. He just, I don't know, he just seemed a little bit off for sure. And then yeah, it's cool to see what Starr's doing though, because man, their team over like the last 5 years, how like far they've come is just amazing to see. And well, technically over 5 years, like dating back to over when Webb was on there, when Martin was on there in the early days, when they're sponsored by Rockstar back then, and they had those couple of guys, solid 250 riders, and now they're like the powerhouse, where for years and years, Pro Circuit Kawasaki was the team to be on, and now it's, kind of the roles have reversed, and Yamaha's the top dog now. And then I find it really cool as well, as they added a 450 program, and not only that, they took over a kind of a shitty program where everyone was thinking the Yamaha 450s were really crappy. The Plessinger wasn't doing that well on them and stuff. Webb didn't do that well after he moved up to the 450s, and now those guys are killing it. Dylan won last year in the outdoors, and Eli's looking like he's gonna bring home this championship this weekend. So, I don't know. I'm just kind of blown away by that, and I just find that really cool.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic too, a little bit where, back when, sorry, I can't remember this, but back when Reed was on, went back to Factory Yamaha, it was, when was that, like 16 or something?
Yes, six. Yeah, 16 or 7. No, yeah, 16 probably. Yeah, somewhere
Yeah,
around there,
yeah,
or something.
around in there. When he came back and everyone was like, oh, this is cool, Reed going back to Factory Yamaha. It's like, it's gonna go so well. And but corporate Factory Yamaha, they were really stingy with trying things. And I remember hearing interviews of Chad, complaining about the bike and then not letting them try certain things and stuff. And then Chad left, and then you saw like the next few years, the riders, Cooper, Plessinger, the guys struggling. And then the program went to Starr, and then you see, like, even last year before Eli got there, the improvements was, a lot. Like with Plessinger battling in the podium last year in Supercross, and then outdoors, they had a couple of the rounds, they had three guys in the top five. Like, it was really, really impressive, with Dylan winning, obviously. And being like a that non-corporate factory team like that, they can do whatever they want to do, basically, and they have no restrictions or politics. I mean, there's of course a little bit, they have to abide by their sponsors or whatever, but you can see the improvement on the results. Definitely with their hard work and listening to the riders and changing, what they want to change and trying it, even if they know it won't work, just for the rider, just for trusting the rider, for the rider's sake, just let them try it. You don't know. So if the rider truly believes it's better, and even though it might not look better, but if he believes it, then he's probably going to do better. It's definitely a lot of mental side of it goes into the sport and to setting up a bike and different things as well.
Oh, for sure. And yeah, it was funny just seeing them just in that 1 year span of 2 years ago to last year. And I heard they shaved a bunch of weight off the bike, and they did X and Y and all that, all the good stuff. And then when Plessinger left, I was definitely surprised. I heard there's talk, I don't know exactly when it was, but like, heard there's talks with him and KTM back in the mid Supercross season of last year. So not like he knew, what was going to happen with Starr, but how late do you think like the final decision was made on that, where he had to pick KTM or Yamaha?
I mean, I think it went well into the outdoors, because he was definitely second guessing leaving Yamaha after how good the bike was getting and how well he was doing. It's, clearly KTM's been proven, at least indoors, outdoors in the States, they been struggling, but it's hard to leave what you're familiar with and what you're finally, like, it's finally clicking for him and he's comfortable, and it's hard changing the whole program. Even though, like I said, the Eldon Baker KTM program's proven to work, it's definitely a big step. And it's hard not to, but when you're building up momentum with your current team and things are getting better, and he's back with Star where he had success with them on the 250, definitely hard to want to leave. And I know I heard it went back and forth, like he was going to KTM, and now he's going back to Yamaha, and he's going to until finally it was released, he was going to KTM, but definitely, you know, dragged out pretty far. Similar scenario, I think, is with Barsha to GasGas when he left a few years ago to GasGas. It's kind of the same kind of deal. They dragged it out pretty far before he finally, you know, went with GasGas, but which is a good decision for him for sure.
Yeah, I was definitely I wasn't surprised, I guess, but just hearing all the rumors of he already signed with KTM, that's why he switching next year. Then there's, you know, the rumor mill in the motocross world is, you know, he's going full speed. But yeah, it's definitely, I don't know, like if I were him, like I have no idea what to do. You know, if you go to KTM, you got Roger DeCoster over there, and they've proven, like you said, they're a proven team, and to be a, you know, rider for Red Bull KTM, that's huge. And then, but on the other hand, you know, Star, and it seemed like the atmosphere at Star was really cool too. And even, I don't know, like, I feel like if you have a really good group of people around you, even if the bike's the same exact as whatever, you know, your other options, I think that's, you know, will help you tremendously. But, yeah, just hearing stuff last year, and I was, like, wondering, like, when was his final decision made? Because, yeah, he was doing really good, especially in the outdoors last year too, which I was kind of surprised about as well. But yeah, that's just gonna be crazy going into this year with the Star Racing team. They got, you know, Dylan and Eli, probably the top two title favorites, and they're both in the same team, but it should be some good racing this year. Then I guess talk about the outdoors here, kind of been I jumped over the 250s. I guess we can always go back, but then with the news with Antonio Caroli coming over, that is huge. I wish, like he said, he's going to do at least two rounds, and I listened to an interview with him, and he said see where or how it goes from there, and then make his decision. But I hope he definitely comes over and races some rounds on the East Coast, and however this plays out, I think this is going to be really cool with him coming over.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. I've been a fan of Caroli for a while, watching the GPs and stuff, and what he's accomplished over there, and how good of a rider he is. Well, he's a great rider, but how he's able to still compete at, what is he, like 33 or 34 or something?
Yeah, mid-30s, I think, or I know for sure.
Yeah, mid-30s, and last year he was battling for the title, and I was rooting for him. I really wanted him to win that 10th championship, and in his final season, that would have been definitely a storybook ending, but it didn't happen. He had some scary crashes, but you know, it's cool to see him on the podium and battling for wins and getting wins last year. And the rumor of him coming over here definitely got me excited. And then now it's legit. He's going to be here for the first two rounds. And it almost makes you want to fly out to California to watch.
I know, right?
Because I've never kind of seen Caroli race before. And then seeing him on our soil against our guys, like it's a lot different than Disney Nations was, you know. So it's gonna be interesting to see. Hopefully he does really well and ends up staying all season. I feel like if the first two rounds go well and he's, you know, on the podium first two rounds or something, or in the points hunt, I would not be surprised if he stays the rest of the season. Which, you know, why not? Like that would really stamp his legacy, you know, winning all those championships overseas and then coming over here and winning also, which I'd like to see that, but yeah, I don't, 'cause I'm for my American
yeah, same
American racers. I'm definitely like, you know, I've grown up raced here and at, you know, professional level, and so I want, you know, the guys I've raced against and the guys I've been with to be the best, you know. So it's I don't like foreign guys coming over here and kicking our ass, basically, is what I'm saying. Part of my crunch. But for him, I'll make an exception. It'd be cool to see him come here and do well and end his career and hopefully a good note for him.
Yeah, that'd definitely be like a storybook ending with him coming over, taking some time off. He would have, you know, started GPs earlier this year. And then if he did get the title, that'd be crazy. And like, I've kind of the same mindset as you with that. It's like, I'm a huge fan of his, but I want to see him do really good, but I don't want to see him embarrass all of, you know, our riders here. So, I don't know, like, just, I hope he does good, but not too good. But, it'll definitely be really interesting to see, you know, he'll be on our bikes, production stuff. So that's going to be different as well. Not like they're on the GP setup. So I wonder how that's going to be with, you know, how do you think they'll play out with bike, you know, setup wise and everything with him being so used to like a GP setup for, you know, over his whole career and coming over here where our setups are totally different.
I think it's going to be a big adjustment for him because they basically have works bikes, you know, they can do whatever they want. There's pretty much with the chat, like they can change the frames, change motors. Like I've heard that those guys have a frame for sand and a frame for hard pack. Like it's not, so coming here, you get what you can buy off the showroom for basically, like for, you know, the cases and frame. You can't do any modifications to those. But I mean, you could still do a bunch of other modifications, which makes the bikes good. But I think that's definitely gonna be challenging for him. But being around as long as he has and his race for multiple different race teams and as good as he's done, I think he'll be fine. It's definitely gonna be an adjustment for him, and some tracks might affect him more than others. For sure, it's not gonna be quite as easy, but. It'll be good to see for sure. And have you heard anything more on Hurlings? I heard rumors of him maybe coming over as well.
No, the last I heard was James on the Bubba's World podcast saying that if Crowley and Hurlings were gonna come over, they had a place to stay over at his compound, which I was hoping that would work. Like honestly, when he said that was probably I think a week or two ago. And that's the last thing I heard about Hurlings. Just, you know, rumors over the last couple weeks. But I didn't really think both of them were going to come over. But, you know, after seeing Crowley come over, I'm like, maybe, you know, Hurlings can come over. And just, I was wondering how that would all play out with Red Bull KTM and stuff. You know, it's the same, you know, not like he's coming over to a totally different, you know, team. He'd still be on a Red Bull KTM team. Obviously it's different than over there, but sponsor wise and stuff too, I'm like, wonder how that works out, and wonder if like that they would allow him to come over, because I know they have their own sponsors over there, and Hurlings is their top guy, and but heck, how many rounds is he missing of the GPs? He's missing a good what? I don't even know, honestly.
It's been four rounds so far. Four or five rounds already. So, granted, there's, I think, what, 20-something rounds? 29 rounds, maybe, or something? I could be totally wrong, but he's clearly out of the championship there. But, yeah, it'd be so cool to see him come over here. That would definitely make an interesting championship with him and Crowley here. And having four Red Bull KTMs on the track, that'd be pretty nuts. But hopefully that happens too. It'd definitely make our series a lot more interesting and more entertaining. I'll for sure be going to a few of them if they come over. For sure, history in the making if those guys come over here. Just you don't see that very often. Guys from the GBs coming over here, like that are established over there. Usually guys will come over, you know, when they're on 250s, you know, when they're getting bumped to the MX1 class. So seeing guys like that come over here, and Hurling's prime. Hurley's definitely past his prime, but still seeing two established guys come over here and race will be pretty entertaining.
Yeah, and I think if there is a year to do it, because I think Hurlings, he's that type of guy that he seems like a really cocky guy. And if he was to come over here and kick all the, you know, Americans' asses, I think that would be huge for, you know, him to, you know, kind of shut everyone up. And I think if there's a year to do it, it would be this year, because Eli Tomac's near the end of his career. You know, he's 29, same with Anderson's 29, same with Barsha. Marvin's up there now, about 31, 32 or something, I don't know. And then Malcolm's up there. Most of our top guys, you know, are near 30. So if there's a time for Hurlings to come over, especially with Crowley coming over too, like I think it'll be a little bit different and a little bit cooler for sure if Crowley and, you know, or Hurlings, that is, comes over. And I don't know, that'd be really awesome. And Dylan's over here killing it right now, so, like, I think it would be the perfect year to do it, and not like he's coming over and missing time in the GPs, like, or a shot at the title, I mean, you know. So it's like a perfect excuse for him getting hurt, you know, or after getting hurt, just be like, okay, well, I'm gonna go over to the U.S. now and you know, try to win the title. And when he came over here, what was that, like 2018 or something, and raced at Ironman. He did freaking real good.
I think it was maybe 17 or 19. Is 18, I raced there, and he wasn't there. It was a muddy year that year. So, it must have, I think it was 19, I believe.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was crazy to see, which is a little unfair. Like, I think, you know, Tomac was for sure holding back the championship, at that race, and you saw him like try to, like, you know, a little bit of pride got to him, and he tried sending it to beat him and end up crashing, and he's like, oh well, I gotta just win the championship, you know, play it safe. So for sure it would be cool having him come over at the beginning of the season, you know, people aren't worried about the championship at round one. For sure it'd be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be really cool to see, because, like, you know, we're watching them ride these insanely sketchy tracks over in Europe, and then they come over to our tracks, and I think that'd be really cool to see as well, just to see the difference, you know, and how everything is. But I don't know, it'll be a good year. But going back to Supercross, kind of wrap everything up, we covered mostly, I think, everything in 250, you know, Jack getting the title. I guess we really, you know, go quick and kind of recap all that. But so I guess we can talk about that. With Jet getting the title at 18, what do you think the move is next? Do you think he's going to go to 450 or stay down one more year, defend that number one, and then make his 450 debut when he's 20? Because it seems like a big topic now.
Yeah, I think it'd be very dumb to move up to 450. That would not be smart, in my opinion. He should defend his title, you know, build more confidence, build more experience. You know, he's not perfect. You know, he had a few races this year where his old self kicked in and sent it a little too hard. And the one round where he took out, came together with Fortner, and had a few other crashes. But, and also, like, you know, Jet's amazing. He rode really good, but he got lucky the fact that Austin and Cameron McAdoo got hurt. Like, those two guys would have been the closest title threats, you know, to him, and they got hurt. So it made it easy on Jet for sure. Not that he didn't ride amazing. Like, he still possibly would have won. But I would have liked to have seen him go head-to-head with those guys. Is what it is. Next year, you know, he'll come in and he'll probably be stacked field again, and and we'll see what he can do. With the improvements that he's making year by year, you know, he'll probably win again next year, even with those guys. But it'd be nice to see a little more competition for him. And then the following year, go 450 would be the smart decision, in my opinion. If you can only make that jump really once. You know, once you go up, you can't come back. So at the level he is at, anyways. So he should stay 250s and, you know, possibly win another title. And go on to the big bike class and do that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's like I hearing a lot of chatter and about him moving up next year. And the thing is, next year is, well, who knows what's going on with Roczen, but there's not that many open rides available in the 450 class. It's, you know, everyone knows the obvious that the field is insanely stacked and everything. And not like he's 24, 25 where, you know, he needs to get bumped out, you know, or bumped up, you know, because he's going to point out or anything. And so, yeah, I can definitely, you know, see him coming back, put in another strong year next year. And then, you know, hopefully there's open spots with the guys retiring. Like, I can see a couple guys retiring in the 450 class, you know, in the next couple years. You got Marvin that's up there, you know, like we talked about with all those guys. That there's, like, four of them that are 29 years old. So I feel like at least a couple of them, you know, or at least one, I think. You know, but, and then Jet's that guy where if you can, you know, put in a strong year next year, I think he'll have a ride no matter what. But then I was hearing people talk about Roczen. Well, he made his 450 debut, and I believe it was at 19. But back then, I think it was 2014, 2013, maybe, somewhere around then anyways, where I think there's a lot more open rides, you know. So it was a, like, totally different situation back then. But yeah, then especially now with everything, all the chaos and everyone, you know, fighting for rides. You know, Craig's moving up as well. I heard Justin Cooper's moving up, I think.
Justin has to move up. Colt Nichols has to move up. Craig doesn't have to, but he wants to. It's crazy to think he doesn't have to.
Yeah,
but right. He could. After if he does, it's most likely he's going to win this title. He has a year to defend, and then he'd be bumped. So, yeah, Colt, you know, he's proven he deserves a 450 ride. You know, Justin Cooper, he's proved to have a 450 ride, and and then Craig, obviously. So there's a lot of guys moving up this year. And who knows where they're all going to go. So it's for sure going to, I'm really curious to see that, what happens. And I feel like, you know, there's a good chance that Roczen will end up somewhere else. I don't know where. But I feel like he'll end up, if he's going to continue to race, which I believe he will, at least for one more year, he'll maybe go somewhere else, and I could see Christian Craig going to Honda for next year, possibly. Like, that's just some rumors that I've heard, but, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see and find out. Sure, silly season is going to be interesting this year, as it always is, but there's definitely a lot of going to be some more moving parts this year, for sure.
Yeah, and it's definitely different too with Rocky Mountain. I don't know. They say they're not closing down, but it's looking like it, you know. There's memes on Instagram I'm seeing. It's like, I forgot what the meme says, but it shows, like, the first picture is, like, the Rocky Mountain rig. And then the second picture was, like, a S10 or something with a KTM in the back. And just talk about how now they're the Butler Brothers KTM team or whatever. But they said they're going to come to, what was it, not Foxborough, but the round before Atlanta. Yeah, we'll be at Atlanta. Then they weren't at Atlanta. Then I heard Jason Thomas, you know, he works for Fly. You know, they sponsored Rocky Mountain KTM, and he didn't know. Like, hearing him, his interview, it was like last week, I think it was, and he had no idea what's going on with that team. Unless he knew something that, you know, and didn't want to say anything. But It's like, I don't know. I find that whole thing so crazy. Like, it was, we all knew about what happened the Baggett years ago. You know, it was the word was spread, you know, throughout the motocross industry. Then this year, you know, with all that going down, that the shit really hit the fan fast with that team. And then you got what Anstey and McElrath looking for rides right now. So it just really sucks on their end as well, because they seem like really nice dudes. And you know, I think they really deserve a ride as well.
Yeah, and Joey's Sabatchi too. Like
Oh,
he's been
and yeah,
hurt,
Sabatchi.
but yeah, he's another solid rider. It sucks. That's three, you know, good spots that are potentially gone. You know, and it's pretty unfortunate. We definitely don't need that, but it'll be, you know, cool if Beta and Triumph ends up making a factory team. Like that'd be awesome to see, and our sport needs it with the. All the veterans, so to speak, guys like Tomac and Marvin and Roczen, all the older guys—they're not retiring as young as like Villopoto, Dungey. Those guys were. So you know, the 250 guys are moving up in the 450 class. The older guys are staying longer. So we need more spots. Which you know, within the next few years, there'll be almost be 20 factory 450 guys in the main event, which would be unreal for sure. For sure.
Yeah, that definitely, like, I've just been blown away over the last couple of years. Like, I remember growing up, there'd be like five guys, maybe six, seven, eight, or five, then it drops down a little bit, then it's like a huge drop off, where now it's like, you know, before everyone got hurt this year, pretty much the whole main was like insane. Just the lineup was crazy with mostly factory dudes there. And I don't know, I was kind of stupid thinking about when I'm like, oh, GasGas is coming on board. And then when, well, Husqvarna added a lot more spots, but when GasGas came on board, I thought they would add like a full on team. But you know, I think they just split it up with you know, KTM and stuff, since KTM has, you know, Husky, KTM, and GasGas, you know, and they have Barcia, then they only have a couple 250 guys. So I was hoping there'd be more spots available, but I don't know. I guess it kind of makes sense with them having, you know, three different brands, so they kind of can spread them out. But it'll definitely be cool to see two more manufacturers come in and have open spots, because yeah, we definitely need open spots. It's crazy to think of, like, like all the guys that you think would deserve a ride, and they don't have one, you know, at the moment, is definitely kind of mind blowing.
Yeah, for sure, and I could see GasGas adding another 450 rider in the future. I think they should, for sure. Especially someone like Marsha's pretty established, and I feel like he's getting towards the end of his career. Getting a younger guy moving up into the 450 class would be good to get them in that position and building and getting better for when Marsha does retire. Then they could be the number one rider there, you know, and step in and kind of fill those shoes that Barcia will leave in the future. I believe will be a smart decision on their part, and good for our sport too. More rides, the better, for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely, for sure. It's cool to kind of see the sport of motocross and supercross kind of go more mainstream right now. I know a lot of people hate on Jet for it, and a lot of people, like, I think have the same opinion as me. It's like, I was, you know, I definitely respect the kid, but definitely a goofy guy, it seems like, but I just hate all the attention he gets and stuff. Like, everyone just bows down to him, you know, giving him so much attention, and just, you know, you know, all that. But the kid definitely is insane talent, and not only that, but he's drawing so much interest into the sport, which is crazy. Like, there's a lot of people I went to high school with that knew nothing about Supercross. You know, if you talk about it, they know nothing. They don't care. They don't give a crap at all. And then I'm seeing them like post stuff about Supercross now, and like they're like all like a, you know, a fanboy for Jet or whatever, or fangirl for Jet. Like, all they post is Jet Lawrence stuff. So I don't know. I guess it's kind of cool, you know, seeing, you know, some guys bring some more people that are, you know, outsiders into the sport, and you know, trying to grow it. So it's definitely kind of cool to see.
Yeah, we need all sorts of personalities and all characters in our sport to bring all the different audiences to the sport. There's, you know, all sorts of fans out there, and each rider and what they're about can bring a fan to the sport. So see someone like Jeff, like I'm more of like a serious, you know, serious kind of guy, and that's what who I like. I'm not like he definitely is serious. Like he trains hard, he rides hard. Obviously you can't win a championship if you're not doing that stuff, but you know, he's definitely immature, you know, he's a little obnoxious kid, but I mean, he's 18. He's 18. But that's good for his part, you know. It's bringing in other, you know, obnoxious 17, 18 year old kids, you know, and getting them interested in the sport, and it's you know, great for a sport, for sure.
Yeah, and definitely it's great to see. And the whole thing with him and Hunter is kind of I guess it seemed like it was flipped before. Like I remember going to Red Bud for MX Nations, and Hunter was the guy, his first race on Geico, and he was the guy, and then Jet comes over and he took his spotlight pretty much. But it seems like they're both doing good now, and Hunter, you know, has a good following as well, and it seems like they're drawing a lot of interest from, you know, like I said, from outside the sport. And you know, hopefully the sport continues to grow and everything. And I don't know what they're doing, if they're moving these last couple races to 3 o'clock because, you know, they get it on the NBC or what. But I hate these 3 o'clock races. I don't know. You know, so hopefully, kind of, you know, off topic, but you know, hopefully with the 3 o'clock races, they have good intentions of trying to, you know, get on NBC and trying to get some more viewers, because I know a lot of the moto guys, you know, haven't been watching it live because, you know, they're out, you know, riding or whatever, since it's been, you know, pretty nice.
With the West Coast being on 3, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
You know, I think Denver is, what is it going to be on, like 6 our time or something? So that's, like, I like that. Like, I wish they would have more of the day races on the West Coast, not the East Coast. It kind of really sucks for the people out west, because that's what sound like 12 o'clock is when gate drop is for them out there. But yeah, I think it should bring people. But this last weekend, I don't know if you had this issue. We watched it on Peacock, but there is no audio for the 250 main. Did you have that?
No, there was no issue. Or there was an issue with that. I was reading that, and I had no issue. I was watching on NBC. And then I heard people on Peacock say, I was watching on Peacock and it was fine. Then I heard people that were watching it on Supercross Live that were, you know, international guys tuning in didn't get audio. So you didn't get audio as well on Peacock, I mean.
Yeah, for the whole 250 main. It was like kind of weird. It was just, you heard the bikes, you know, but you didn't hear any, you didn't hear Ricky or was it Lee Diffy?
Yeah, it's like...
It was definitely weird sitting there watching with nothing, and just hearing the bikes. But after that race, like the audio slowly started coming on. Like we heard it, like somebody was turning the volume knob up on the audio of the announcers. And then it was back to normal. But yeah, it's definitely not a, like, it's hopefully for NBC they didn't have that issue, because that wouldn't be a good look for.
Oh, that would, yeah, that would be horrible.
Our sport, I guess.
Yeah, that was I saw memes about that. I'm like I didn't hear anything, and the first thing I saw was memes. I'm like, what? Like I was so confused, and then I heard about it. I'm like, oh. And that was kind of me last night. I was doing the Supercross the game stuff, and I had my computer up with the live stream, and I had the comments on there, and I'm just like, you know, just covering all the action, and people are like, dude, I can't hear your audio. I'm like, I've just been talking to myself for like 20 minutes though. That's cool. But, you know, end up getting it fixed. But wanted to bring up that as well. The Moto 247 has a PlayStation and Xbox championship back after a 2-year break. And so slowly getting more people. Last night, the turnout really sucked. But the racing was pretty good in the first round. And then we have a post up on our main page, Moto 247, about a couple of things. So if you hit a certain amount of followers and YouTube subscribers, you come over and commentate a race, and it seemed like a lot of people in the gaming community were really interested in that. So I just wanted to mention that, and I'll probably reshare that again or put that in our Discord or whatever. But yeah, definitely. I hope if you do hit those marks, it'll be better than last night, because last night the turnout was bad and it wasn't as good. But it's always, a lot of fun in that game. Just a lot of guys, you see a lot of guys get rage and flip out on these little kids. It's kind of funny. It always seems like it's an entertaining night for sure.
My stuff gets intense. I've been there. I'll hopefully be playing soon in your series, and I'll probably get my butt kicked, but it'll be fun. Fun doing it for sure. And yeah, if as we're saying, follow the little directions on his post there. I'm gonna come and announce one of the races, and hopefully that will bring more people to your race and a little more views. And I think it'll be fun. Something a little different. Announcing a video game, but yeah, it's definitely where a lot of how everything's going towards, video games and stuff is becoming more popular and more and more realistic. It's becoming more and more like the actual real thing, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. I can definitely tell, like, on my PlayStation 4, it's different than my Xbox, and I don't play that much anymore. I wish I did. Like, the Supercross 3, I had, like, an ungodly amount of hours on that game, but now it's just I don't have any free time at all. But on the Xbox Series X, like, it's just crazy, the rhythms. Oh, my, hold on, excuse me. Oh, shoot, but the rhythms you have to do, like, you can't really, like, skim them like you used to be able to, and it's, like, it's just crazy how hard the games are, where you actually have to practice. It's not like a video game on PlayStation 2 where you can get on there and just like rail everything with your buddies and put in a really good race. Now it's like everyone's yard sailing unless like they really trained on the game, which is crazy. But I don't know, it's cool. And we're only doing 7 races this year, but it's better than nothing like we had last year. But yeah, it's definitely crazy. And I find it funny because IOMA is like the main league across all the systems, and my heart rate, I wore a heart rate monitor, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, whenever my last or race was before this year. And I was like sitting on the gate there at like 160, and I'm like, this is the weirdest thing ever, because not like I never did a race in my life. Like, I raced bicycles like and dirt bikes pretty much my whole life, and then raced some big bicycle races where you would think my heart rate would be definitely higher than for a stupid video game race. I just laughed, had to laugh my butt off that night, because freaking nervous as heck. You're in qualifying, like, so nervous, like something's on the line, even though there's nothing on the line really. It's just for fun.
Yeah, it's not. I know the feeling. I did a couple races last year, the year before, little league races or whatever. And yeah, definitely the heart rate gets going. Your hands get sweaty just playing a little game. Yeah, definitely, it's cool to get that out of something like that for sure.
And one last thing I wanted to touch on before we make our predictions for round 16 at Denver is Logan Carnell. That is he has kind of shocked the moto world the last, what, like, month or so, 2 months, with his sponsors. And I was even thinking about when we were talking about bringing outside people into the sport. I think he, I don't know, he might be bringing some more people and some different people as well with his title sponsors the last few weeks, with the OnlyFans chicks. I can't believe he's getting away with it. Like, I remember, when Chad Reed was on JGR, and they wouldn't allow him to run that CBDMD sticker on his helmet. And now Logan Carnell has OnlyFans girls' usernames on his shrouds and everything. It's just, I don't know, just every week it's like I have to bust out the popcorn and just wait to see what the next sponsor is and the photo shoots that he does with them.
Yeah, it's cool to see him being creative, I guess, and of all people in the sport right now, racing pro at least, he's the one guy I would see doing this, for sure. I've known Logan for a while, and he's a good dude. And it's cool that, Hannah, I think Hannah was originally reached out to him, and and that went really well. And man, it's led to a different girl every week, or girl or girls, sponsoring him. And it's really awesome to see a whole new revenue stream almost coming into the sport. It's somewhat like the old school, you know, Supercross, used to be Supercross and girls, whatever. And then now it's the new school version of that, so to speak, with OnlyFans.
You got OnlyFans, and what was it, St. Louis? There's girls in the pits doing yoga by his bike and stuff. You just walk in the pits, you see these OnlyFans chicks doing yoga by Carnell's bike. Like, couldn't even imagine. Just, I don't know. Dude cracks me up.
I didn't hear about that.
See that? There's videos of that somewhere on Instagram. And they're doing these yoga poses like right next to his bike, and I'm like, honestly don't even know what to think about it. It just made me laugh though really hard, but yeah, definitely different.
Can be distracting Logan from doing his job.
But the weird thing is though, is he's like putting in career best finishes since this, where you know he was on that, he had those sponsors backing him or that team or whatever, and they pulled out, and that whole big drama behind that and how he got screwed, had no bikes or anything. Then it seems like it was a real, you know, downer of a story and just a super bum for the guy. Then he comes out and gets a lot of support from his fans, and not only that, but has these OnlyFans girls reaching out to him, and somehow he's putting in his like career best finishes in the 450 class, you know, after all this went down. And I know it's kind of funny. Like, it would be a little bit different, I guess, if he had all these sponsors doing all these silly things, you know, the photo shoots and everything, and he's not performing on the track. But I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's some magic potion or whatever. But he's doing and doing really good right now. So it's crazy.
Yeah, it's working for him for sure. Cool to see.
Then wrapping this up here, let's make our picks for the podium for Denver. So if you want, I can get started in 250, then you can start the 450, but once we get there. But it's always funny when I make these picks, because if it's Dean or if it's Tom, along with me, it's like we're always like so overthinking it because of how stacked everything is. But for 250, I don't know, I have to go with Christian Craig. Then Hunter Lawrence, he has a lot of momentum, but I don't think he will get the win in Denver. But him followed by, Shimoda. I guess, I don't know, yeah, I'll stick with that.
Gotcha. West Coast, right?
Yep.
This next one, gotcha. So the 450, in my opinion, I really think Chase is gonna win. I thought he was gonna win this past weekend. That's who I chose to win, and he was riding really good. And I think Chase is gonna get another win here. And Jason will be second, in my opinion. And I want to say Malcolm will be in the podium. He's been a little off the past few rounds for some reason. But I think I'm going to put Malcolm third for sure, is what my guess is.
Yep, solid picks. I definitely honestly hope Chase does really good. His freakish accidents over the year has been so crazy, like Minneapolis and a couple of the other ones. And even last year going back to like Houston where he got like launched off his bike and like rocketed into a face of a jump. It's like the dude can't catch a break, but somehow he's getting up from these and still, you know, putting in the best, or if not the best qualifying times, near the best and you know, up there and stuff. But I guess we'll see how this plays out for the second to last round of the season, and we'll see how it goes, and hopefully, you know, Eli Tomac can wrap up the title and get his second title there, and I guess the 250 class isn't nothing crazy with Craig having a huge lead, but I guess, you know, there's always something going on, you know, something to, that's really interesting, and And we'll see how Tomac, if he plays it safe or what. But I don't know. Honestly, I think he's going to go out and try to get a win there. But I don't know. I guess we'll see how it plays out. But anyways, thank you so much for hopping on here. And I was definitely pumped to do a episode here. It's been a long time. It's been like a month or so. So definitely too long.
Yeah, sure. Happy to be on. And maybe we'll have to do this again sometimes if you want. It's fun sitting here and just BSing about the races and talking about it. It's a lot of fun, for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you're welcome. On any time, and we'll get going. And hopefully, I'll start doing them weekly and stuff. So by the time you get on, it's we're in the flow here and get everything going. But anyways, see you guys later. Peace out.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Moto247 Show. I'd really appreciate it if you guys would go give us a follow on our Instagram pages. We are on there at Moto.247 is our main page. Then our podcast page is on there at the Moto247 Show. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening again, and peace out!